Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take us in, we appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander. It is my little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, alongside here at Circa Resort Casino Hotel. I say little buddy because you look great, man.
Well, thanks.
You look wonderful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
The hair looks great. The weight looks great.
This guy. Stop it, you.
This guy. On the show today, Drew Densick from, of course, Whale Capper on Twitter, but of course, the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports will join us to talk NBA Cup. Do you have Emirates NBA Cup fever?
As of 2 days ago, yes.
As of 2 days ago,
yeah. I started sinking my teeth into it. I got bets. Let's go.
There are group bets. There are bets for the whole thing. Remember, Kelly, the Lakers are the reigning cup champs.
That's right.
And I believe they have a banner to show for it in the rafters.
I believe they do as well. I'm excited for it, man. It was great last year. The helps break up the regular season a little bit. Like, I don't think anybody's going to get overly excited. If it's like last year, nobody's going to get overly excited about it these first couple weeks. But as you get close to the end of the groups and then out here to Vegas and everything, it was really cool last year.
The Vegas part was cool. When it got to the semis and the finals, we'll go through the whole format. It all counts in the standings except for the final game, but it's a group stage that begins tonight. It's Tuesdays and Fridays from now through the final in December. We'll get to the format when we talk to Drew. We also have Jake Benziquin on the show today. Jake is not only the co-founder of ProfitX, but he's also responsible for one of the remaining 105 entries in Circa Survivor, each with a intrinsic value of over $135,000 now. Jake was already tweeting about it this morning when we tweeted that he was on the schedule. He goes, tune in to find out how I'm going to mess this up. we're looking forward to talking to Jake a little later on the show. Will Hill with all his bets. Peter Futak. Could this be true? Pete Futak on college football. I want to ask him all about, with 3 weeks left in the regular season, how he sees the mayhem. What's the mayhem scenario? Who does he think the best team in the country is right now, if pressed about it? And who does he think the pretenders are? Get some of his thoughts on this weekend's games as well. Let us begin real quick with a couple things, because we got some baseball awards finalists to get to. First, though, Monday Night Football yesterday, the Dolphins at the Rams. And Rams, not good. Dolphins win 23-15. In a game that they were the 2.5-point dogs in, ultimately, at close in this one. And the Rams just, in a division, the Rams are in a division in the NFC where you're probably only going to get a division winner, much like the NFC South, but also the case in the NFC West. And it's the most bunched up of all divisions in the NFL, where the top and bottom teams are separated by just one game in the loss column. But they're on the bad end of that now with this loss to the Dolphins. Dolphins with a victory stay within contact, a game and a half of the final remaining wild card position in the AFC. The Broncos are 5-5. The Dolphins move up to 3-7. But the Rams now a game behind in the loss column of both the Cardinals and the Niners. Cardinals have the half game lead in the division. And this game really was two great defensive performances, or bad offense, whichever you prefer to look at it. I'll prefer to do half glass full with the defenses. But with the Rams, you know, they've had a terrible performance inside the red zone this year, but you can't even say this about the game last night because they barely got into the red zone. They literally ran two plays inside the red zone until the fourth quarter last night, because every time they got close, Kelly, chicanery happened. 10-0 game in the second quarter. The Rams were set up at the Miami 43 after Christian Roseboom picked Tua. Then the next play, Kyren was stripped by Deshaun Hand, recovered by Kendall Fuller. So they couldn't get into the red zone there. Still same score, because then Tua got sacked by Jared Verse. He fumbled. It was recovered by Verse. The Rams were set up at the Miami 36. Surely they're getting into the red zone this time. Well, these were the only two plays they ended up running in the red zone. They had to settle for a Cardi 34-yard field goal to cut it to 10-3. It was 10-6 at the half. The total yards in the first half, 111-106 in favor of the Dolphins. Four turnovers, two by each team. So it was just like, here, take the newspaper.
Yeah, for real.
Take the newspaper. There's no one looking. The Rams continued in the third quarter. They got it to first and 10 at the Miami 28. Surely there's going to be a red zone appearance here. Nope. 13-yard loss on a snap over Stafford's head. Eventually a false start. Cardi then had to kick a 57-yarder after the 52-yarder was nullified by the false start. He missed that. And then later at 17-6, the Rams got it to second and 5 at the Miami 21, just outside the red zone. Kyron 2-yard loss. Stafford sacked for 12. And they had to settle for another Cardi field goal. So it's just a field goal fest late. And the Dolphins just stayed there. They would go from 8-point lead to 11-point lead, back to an 8-point lead, back to an 11-point lead. And finally, in the end, the only other note I want to say about this is it's 23-12 after Sanders kicks a 50-yard field goal. 23-12 Dolphins. So the Rams need two scores late. They get the ball back with 2:38 left. They have a big play. They get it to the Miami 24 with 1:30 left in the game. So you got 90 seconds left in the game. You're at the Rams 24. You need two scores, obviously, one of the scores being including a two-point conversion, to tie this up and force overtime. You'd have to recover an onside kick. You get the drill. But you have to make a decision at this point. Okay, do we kick the field goal, a la those of us who played Madden all those years? Do we kick the field goal first so that we can leave enough time on the clock in the event that we recover the onside kick? Or do we try to get it in the end zone? Okay, you can decide either way. What the Rams did is they decided, we're going to try to get it in the end zone. Yeah. We're not going to kick there. And then on third down, they end up kicking a Cardi 31-yard field goal on third and 10 at the 12 with 42 seconds left. Those two things don't reconcile. So you either kick the field goal with 90 seconds left, or you go for it on every down available to you to try to get it in the end zone. You don't do it halfway. Once you eschew the kick, the field goal, you don't then decide arbitrarily on third down, oh, we'll just kick the field goal here. So that was it ends up being a little thing because the Rams are probably going to lose it anyway because you know how onside kicks go. Even though you do declare, you rarely recover the kick.
I thought the same thing, though. Yeah. You just put it perfectly. I think I feel like there's a lot of going back and forth I've seen after the game on, like, the, you know, what was the play at the 4, right? Whether they were going to go for it or kick the field goal. Like some of those are a little bit more coin flippy to me. I don't care as much, but that sequence, completely agree with
you.
Yeah. Like I said, it's under the radar there. Nobody's going to remember it.
Nobody's going to remember it. It's a bad loss for the Rams, but there really isn't much else to say about this football game because it was kind of, it was what it was, the kid said.
And, I just thought some of those at the end were just kind of odd from McVay, I thought. Calls, especially when you're, like you said, the offense hadn't been able to get going all night long as far as getting points, and you're kind of trusting that they are settling for some of these field goals. I don't know. I thought at that point, just keep going. You got to get in the end zone at some point.
Give it to the Dolphins, though. They looked like the more fired up team. They looked like the more desperate team. They were, and they played like it, quite frankly. The only other note, Tua, was it the pick, the Roseboom pick, where he put his head into the tackle? Was that the play?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was scary.
Tua, what are you doing, man? Have we learned anything?
What are you doing, man?
Dude, stop it. Stop it with that.
I will say, good on the Dolphins, because I was really hoping the Bengals would win on Thursday just so this AFC playoff picture would be kind of exciting down the stretch. Bengals and Dolphins still alive, at least.
Still alive. The Dolphins at 3-6, because they've only played 9 games. 1.5 games behind the Broncos for the final playoff spot in the AFC. About the Major League Baseball awards. Listen, we still have 6 days to wait before the awards that you are interested in actually get announced. So not only do we have to wait till November 18th for these to begin, but they also are going to do it against Monday Night Football. Another genius stroke by Major League Baseball. I do not know why. We joke about this all the time. We're not the only ones, justifiably so. Why does Major League Baseball wait all this time? The only explanation I can come up with is they look at the NFL and they say, oh, the NFL season never ends. There's free agency. There's the draft. Oh, my God, the whole calendar. Everybody cares about, you know, the NFL. Well, if this is Major League Baseball's answer to that, like, oh, if we extend the award season, it'll be long. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. So we still have 6 days to wait. But they did announce the finalists yesterday, which is, I guess, their way of saying, oh, my God, we're going to make the suspense kill you people. Yeah, that's not really the case either. American League MVP, no surprises here. The 3 finalists are Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Bobby Witt. One guess who's winning that? They're going to announce, and it's going to be like a 2-hour show, right? And they're going to be like, and now Matilda Judge is going to give out the award. That's not her name. I don't know. NL MVP, Shohei Lindor and Marte, Ketel Marte from the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I know our buddy Michael Montesano had some big Ketel Marte.
He was a hot selection back in like May, June, if I remember.
For a minute and a half. And with apologies to you Lindor people, Chris Felica, I'm talking to you. It's going to be Shohei on this, one would imagine, for National League MVP. The Cy Youngs were, you know, I guess more interesting than that. But also, you know, in the American League, we know who's winning that. It's Tarek Skubal. The other two finalists end up being Seth Lugo, who I had a 13-1 ticket on. And according to, again, Tango's tracker, Tom Tango, who's gotten this right almost every time through the last stretch of seasons, the American League order ought to be Skubal, Lugo, Burns. Instead, what they did is it's Skubal, Lugo, and Emmanuel Clase, a reliever for the Cleveland Guardians. This feels more performative than anything to me. Like, hey, a reliever might be able to win it finally after so many years. I think it's been over, I think it's 21 years since Gagne won it. Don't hold me to the exact number. In either league where a reliever won this. So Clase gets the third finalist position. Again, for what it's worth nothing but just that. And then the NL Cy Young, Sale, Wheeler, and Skeens, which is exactly the order that Tango had them in, by the way. Sale with a slight edge on Wheeler and Tango's numbers. So this will either, this, one would imagine it's either Sale or Wheeler. But when you see Skeens finally in print for Cy, you think to yourself, all right, NL Rookie of the Year, it's Skeens, Jackson Merrill, and Jackson Churio. They're not going to cut him out of both, are they? I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't think so.
I don't know.
I kind of think the same way. I think he's kind of there in the MVP just to make headlines, too, though.
Well, he's third, according to the tracker, also, so he kind of deserves it. Cy Young, yeah, he kind of deserves it. By the way, American League Rookie of the Year, no surprises in terms of the finalists there. The two Yankees, Luis Gil and Austin Wells, and the Baltimore Oriole, Colton Cowser. Anybody can win that one. That's probably the one that's the most up in the air. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade. The app's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service, Sport Trade. Perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. We got tweets at Beating the Book. We get tweets. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Dom Corleone 28, Kyle D. He says, hard not to take an early victory lap on the Bears season under 8.5 and 9.5. Thank you, Hard Knocks, he says. Friends and fans in sheer panic and finger pointing, who to blame, because it cannot be all Caleb's fault despite his inaccuracy. This was to be the best spot for a rookie quarterback to land with all the weapons. Fields was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year, yet minimal O-line changes were made during offseason and magic was expected. It has been delicious, he says, delicious to watch unravel and assuring that maybe I'm growing as a sports bettor. How about that from Kyle D?
Wow. That's a hammer.
Yeah, that's a victory lap before the victory is even secured.
Yeah, I got my bets in, Kyle. I'm not scooping that cash yet. That's I will go back to what I said yesterday about the Bears. This is kind of exactly who I thought they'd be. I don't think it means they can't get a little bit better here towards the end.
Kyle D, everything you're saying is true, but if you are to improve as a sports bettor, don't call it before it happens, even though you're looking good. Ryan Hyatt, I've been busy lately. Remind me again what year these MLB awards are for? Thanks. My thoughts exactly, Ryan. Ryan Thompson. McVay is such a bad in-game coach. Should have gone for the touchdown on 4th and goal from the 4 with 6 minutes left. Then, as you said, Gil, kicking on 3rd there at the end made no sense.
Yeah.
Jesse Welch. The ever-elusive Merrill Hodge, he's not special clip, made an appearance on the Lombardi line by accident today. It did.
Shout out, Darnell. Shout out, Darnell. So much.
He is not special. He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
We will run that 100 times. Vegas regular. You have Tua coming off a concussion and is tackling with his head, as you said, and Tyreek with a tear in his wrist is doing touchdown celebrations, throwing himself on the ground. A bunch of Mensa members, I tell you. D-Gen Southern Gent. Gil, every time you say, here, take the newspaper, I laugh to myself and feel really guilty about it, LOL. And not saying Tua is doing it on purpose, but I did wonder if Tua said to himself, generational wealth insurance policy, as he braced for impact. I don't know if he said that to himself, but that's interesting. It's an interesting take on it anyway. Spence, I wish MLB would announce the damn award so my Spencer Strider Cy Young ticket will be graded. You and me both, Spence. When is that happening? When do our CJ Stroud number one and Spencer Strider Cy Youngs happen?
Yeah, when's that NFL draft taking place? Come on. We all know who the better quarterback is.
This is from NCI95 Gambler. What if NL Rookie of the Year is a tie? Is that a possibility? How likely is it? You know, it's baseball writers we're wagering on. I mean, it's a possibility.
I mean, ties are already lame. Can you imagine? That'd be the lamest thing ever.
It's Paul Skeen's mom and Jackson Merrill's mom together.
Like that.
And Jackson Churio's mom is like, why did I get invited?
ridiculous.
Yeah. Torch D, last night I did some live betting on the football game, bet 365, had Dolphins minus 350 while every other book was around minus 500. So I put 800 on it. Ooh. Woke up this morning to an email stating wagering restrictions will be applied to all my bets going forward. This is now the fourth major sports book that has done this to me. This feels criminal.
Wow.
Don't get me started. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, question. What if Burrow finishes? I love these hypotheticals. What if Burrow finishes with 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards, and Cincinnati squeaks into the playoffs? Is that enough of an outlier season to steal the MVP that's obviously trending towards Lamar and Allen?
God, I love this question.
Well, you've stated it correctly. It is trending towards Lamar and Allen, Lamar specifically. Lamar, 24 touchdowns, 2 picks. By the way, do you know Brock Purdy's numbers on the road in his last 9 road games?
Really good.
23 touchdowns, 2 picks. That's one of the weird home road splits ever. Anyway, back to your question. Sorry. That's right. Lamar Jackson this year, 24 touchdowns, 2 picks. But if Burrow gets 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and the Bengals make the playoffs, obviously it will mean he will get consideration. But you know what it probably means? That he's just going to get comeback player of the year. That's my hunch. That he still won't get MVP. Although I hear what you're saying. If you put up those numbers, you're in the conversation. But they'll probably steer another award towards him. Or he'll get the offensive player of the year award.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, this is... Well, I think you hit it. I think it's comeback and the rest go by the wayside probably. It's an interesting question because I don't think he's completely out of the picture yet, but only because he has those numbers, right? Like, the numbers are so ridiculous with Burrow that he still has to be in the conversation a little bit. But, man, it's outside looking in for sure. What Lamar Jackson's done, and then Josh Allen, I think, is the clear number two right now. What they've done and what I think they'll continue to do is probably going to be so hard to upset.
And it's part of your question, but they're 4-6, for God's sakes. They better start winning football games starting this week against the Chargers.
I would love to see it happen, though. Like, I would love to see that, like, him put up ridiculous stats and be in the conversation.
Numbers? Yeah. Absolutely. Brian Morianen, by the way, says, or as he told me, it's Morianen, I believe is how you pronounce it. Now I'm really messing it up. He says, for the Bears, under win total better. It's the old saying, it's not under till it's over. Little listener advice right there.
There we go.
I misspoke, by the way. I said earlier, I said that we were going to talk about exactness. What I meant to say was we're going to talk about Super Bowl matchups. Correct. Because I brought this up yesterday. I'm like, to me, the Lions-Ravens matchups, the Lions-Ravens matchup looks great to me. And by the way, somebody, you know, immediately was like, oh my God, you're going to do this again with Mahomes. You're right. See, this is the thing when we have these power rankings / Super Bowl matchups conversations, unlike baseball, unlike basketball, these are not, or unlike hockey, these are not settled in a best of seven where, you know, the better team, quote unquote, has a chance to manifest over multiple games. This is a one-off in the playoffs, right? It's 60 minutes of football and anything can happen. So if Patrick Mahomes does come in with his cape and beats all these teams again, no one's going to be surprised. But I'm just going to take the approach that I'm willing to take that hit again, and that Mahomes has all these teams' numbers, specifically the Ravens' number, until he doesn't. Here are your short shot Super Bowl matchups. Courtesy of Advocate Skirmish over there at FanDuel. Chiefs Lions plus 750. There's my Ravens Lions at 11-1, and then Bills Lions at 14-1. So the Lions clearly are the anchor for all those. Chiefs Eagles becomes the next short shot at 15-1. I'm not sure I expected that. Chiefs Niners 17-1. Ravens Eagles 21-1 in the Battle of the Birds, and then you see everybody else 25-1 and longer. Is there anything on the board that we have that interests you, or is there something off the board that would interest you?
I was going back and forth about this. I said yesterday, I think I'll stand by what I said yesterday. It would be Ravens Lions and Bills Lions to me. So those, look, you could bet both if you wanted it. Those prices, 11-1, 14-1. I think biggest thing I took away from looking around it for these numbers this last night and this morning, shop around. There are massive differences book to book on some of these teams. Like that 11-1 Ravens Lions over at FanDuel, that was by far the best I saw on that. I think they were the short shot at one book that I looked at.
Ravens Lions.
Yeah. So that's my biggest takeaway was it was shop around for these. But man, I don't know. Now when we put it like this, Gil, like I got a real hard time seeing one of those top three AFC teams not making it, and I'll even go to the NFC.
So this is the opposite of baseball, right?
Right.
The whole time we were doing the baseball ones, and I had a bunch of them. Remember, in the end, I had a bunch of World Series matchups, and at the end of every discussion, I said this is the most wide open baseball season ever that I can remember at this time of year. So I think it's incumbent that you bet some of these. And at the end, I would say, and watch, it'll be the Yankees-Dodgers of all years. It'll be Yankees-Dodgers. And it ended up being Yankees-Dodgers. The NFL is the opposite of that, where, again, it's 60 minutes to decide this. So could there be an upset here and there? Sure. Could Patrick – and the problem – that's why the Chiefs, no matter how vulnerable they look, that's all they got to do, right? Patrick Mahomes just has to do his thing in the postseason. And, again, I'll say it again. Remember last year, that Christmas Day game against the Raiders – the Chiefs never looked worse. And if you had told folks watching that game at that point, hey, don't worry, they're still going to win the Super Bowl, you'd have just laughed. We forget how we felt about them then. They're not nearly in that position now, right? They're a 9-0 team. Sure, they squeak by in some of these games. So could they absolutely get there? Yes. That doesn't mean that if you're betting something else, you're just horribly wrong about something. Because I do think the best teams are the Ravens and the Lions. I really do.
Yeah, and I mean, me too, but then it's, you know, Bills, Chiefs,
is there a flyer there you would take?
I was just thinking, I was going to ask you, what's the longest shot one you'd take?
Niners at the bottom, I would take.
Okay. I was going to go with, I was going to look up what the Texans Niners was. Texans, I wouldn't, they're the only other AFC team I think could crack that top, you know, into that top three. And Niners, like Drew said, I mean, no matter what they end the regular season like, if they get in the playoffs, don't count them out.
That's the thing. I think if there's one takeaway besides the obvious ones at the top, that the Niners probably being an anchor of your longer shots is probably, I understand the justification for that.
Me too.
Everybody's back. All of a sudden they become the Niners again, that kind of thing. So Bills, Niners, 32-1, not so bad. Will Hill on the other side. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle and save 50% off gourmet gifts site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early and score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With five generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have gift packages starting at $89.99. From legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. Skill Alexander, it's a numbers game live from Circa. Real thrilled to have this gentleman on the show, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is one of the co-founders of Profit X, which we will explain momentarily for the uninitiated. But he also comes to us because he is responsible for one of the 105 remaining entries in Survivor, each of which right now has an intrinsic value of over $135,000. What could possibly go wrong between now and the end of the season? It's Jake Benzaquin, everybody. How you doing, Jake?
Doing great, Gil. Thanks for having me on to talk both Profit X and Survivor, probably my two favorite topics in the world.
Well, let's start with Profit. Let's get that out of the way because I want folks to know about this. In your words, now, Profit Exchange, folks might be familiar with that. The first ever betting exchange, you were in New Jersey, and there was a pivot, and now you are doing it in the context of a sweepstakes model. Can you explain to folks what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that are not aware, we're formerly Profit Exchange, now Profit X. Profit X is a sports exchange where you can play against other individuals rather than the house. What that means is that you're getting better odds and you're essentially winning more or losing less on every single play that you make. Now, I don't think we've got the time nor people want to listen to the sweepstakes, you know, boring legal frameworks here, but I'll give a few caveats just so we can talk about our pivot. First, the two questions that we get the most are, is this legal and is my money safe in terms of our pivot and moving into the sweepstakes space? So I always like to address those first. First and foremost, it is absolutely legal. It is unregulated, so we are no longer in the regulated OSB space, but rather sweepstakes is a legal framework with concrete backgrounds both recently and even over the past decade or two. So we've seen this framework utilized for gaming for quite some time now. It's obviously gotten recent popularity, but essentially we've got a free-to-play side of the platform that users can play with our profit points. And then we've also got a profit cash side, which is, you know, the traditional experience, much more akin to the profit exchange experience that people had in New Jersey.
Really? Go ahead.
No, sorry. And just addressing the is my money safe? Because that's the biggest one that we probably get, being, again, unregulated but legal. The answer is yes. We have all the same KYC, geolocation, banking requirements that we had in New Jersey. So we brought everything over from the regulated platform from a processing standpoint to the new sweepstakes ProfitX pivot. And things have been going great to start. So thanks for asking about it.
No, I love it. And so people, and it's available in, 39 states, Jake?
39 states plus DC. Unfortunately, Nevada for you is not one of those states.
But I know.
But it is available to most of the states in our great country here,
including the Texases and Californias of the world. Those states. Yes.
Yeah. So people that are looking for or have, you know, previously used offshore, you now have another option here that should certainly have some better odds for you.
Yeah. And the other thing people should know also with the sweepstakes betting, and I'd be happy to answer anybody on Twitter who has follow ups to this, is that it, correct me if I'm wrong, it used to be, you know, sweepstakes betting was run by those who had sports books and often the player was mistreated. But you guys come from this exchange background. Again, it used to be Profit Exchange. Now it's Profit X. And so you carry some of those same very better friendly principles over to this sweepstakes model.
Absolutely. A fantastic point. So player versus house gives obviously a negative dynamic to the consumer sometimes. And being unregulated, a lot of these companies were taking advantage of not having, you know, any regulatory body to adhere to. Therefore, they would be voiding bets or not paying people out. None of that's in our best interest as an exchange, because we only make money when you make money. So we win when you win. There's no shady or necessary, you know, voids or controversies going on an exchange. So that has blended in with the sweepstakes space, that negative connotation, but it's more so player versus house than it is sweepstakes.
And you guys have experienced tremendous growth, correct? Tremendous growth.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a whirlwind of 2 months. Basketball's been off to a fantastic start too, but we're already bigger than we were in New Jersey. We're growing at, you know, about 20% compounding month over month. Very little marketing spend, truly organic. So we're very happy with where things are at right now. We need to do a better job doing some things. We're trying to get more props and in play. Obviously, you know, things that bettors love in the exchange over the next few months. But if you haven't checked it out yet, it has been an awesome start. The liquidity and the market selection has been better than we probably could have ever thought.
All right, let's get to the good stuff, Jake. Appreciate that. Yeah. Circa Survivor started with 14,266 entries. The first, and now it's down to 105. You are responsible for one of these entries. First of all, how many did you start with?
This is the one.
Just one. You started with one. That's it.
Yep.
Okay. Those first 5 weeks were carnage. The first couple weeks, I'll just mention those 2 weeks. Pittsburgh, Atlanta, people remember the thoughts of those teams heading into the season. A lot of people went down, picking the Falcons. The Bengals were also a big upset victim against the Patriots. The next week, I think it was the Ravens who were big upset victim to the Raiders. And then it went on for weeks 3, 4, 5. Do you remember now in retrospect, how is it that you avoided all of that? Were you lucky primarily, or was it like super genius of you?
I think definitely more luck than super genius out here. I think I had always circled week one is I think you just got to survive in advance. I mean, sounds pretty cliche, but week one, you just have to get through with something that you're confident in, because obviously there's a ton of unknown variables. The Raiders-Ravens game had a spot that I did not like at all, and I thought that the field would actually be extremely popular on, which ended up being the case. I think early on, I thought that the Antonio Pierce Raiders were a bit better than they were, so I got a little bit lucky in assuming that. But I think the key to all of my success and a lot of people's success that are still in it was that Jets pick on Thursday night versus the Pats.
Yes.
I normally try and stay away from those Thursday games. Again, a lot of people thought the Jets were a lot better than they were back then. But in hindsight, that was kind of the game-changing moment for everyone that's still alive, as that Sunday was absolute carnage. And there's nothing better than having a pick through and being able to watch the carnage unfold in front of you on a Sunday.
That was week three, by my memory, I believe. Week three when the Jets won on Thursday night, and then the carnage ensued on Sunday. Who did you have this past week, Jake?
This past week, I had the Chargers. So chalky, but we'll take it.
But you avoided the Giants in Munich. That was big.
I'm a Giants fan. I was avoiding that game with a 10-foot pole. there was no reason for me to be touching the Giants, traveling to Munich. I know the Panthers have a bad rap right now, but two in a row, right? So I think that's very much also a success. You know when to back them and when to fade them, the Panthers. And for me, I've got their number, I guess, so far.
Yeah. So now what do we have? 2 weeks still to get through before Thanksgiving? Is that correct? I believe it's 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Yep, this week and next.
Are you allowing yourself to look ahead, or are you like, don't even think about it yet, 1 week at a time? I don't even want to know. Obviously, you're saving. I know you've thought about it that much, that you have some still in the hopper. But generally speaking, you're just 1 week at a time. You don't even want to deal with it until you get there?
Yeah, I think, as you said, you know, I'm obviously aware of the Thanksgiving and Christmas weeks. I think everything I'm thinking about is working backwards from Christmas. Obviously there's a ton of ways to potentially monetize this entry prior to then, so not putting too much thought into it, but I've used Baltimore, I've used Houston, I've used Seattle. So I've got, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Chicago as my only three potential Christmas, teams remaining. So as a result of that, then you can work backwards to Thanksgiving here. Thanksgiving this year is actually going to look a lot different, I would say. Green Bay was looking like a double digit favorite until Tua came back. The Lions are now out to double-digit favorites with the Bears imploding every single day. You've got the Black Friday game, which is Kansas City minus 14. So this week actually comes really into question, because you've got Detroit, who's, you know, minus 800, minus 13 versus the Jags, but they're also a big Thanksgiving favorite. So do I want to use them on Thanksgiving? Would I rather use Kansas City there? Would I save Kansas City for Christmas and use Green Bay or Detroit for Thanksgiving? So you've got to think about all of that coming into this week here.
And so your instinct right now, obviously not holding you to it, but if you didn't take Detroit this week, then who would you take?
Yeah, it's tough. I think Miami is the leader in the clubhouse right now. Again, I don't have Houston. I don't feel great about the Rams in New England for sure. I don't have San Francisco. So it's definitely Miami or Detroit, but Miami's also 8-point favorites versus the Patriots next week. So got to keep that in mind. The obviously amount of things to take into account at this point has gotten pretty crazy, but that's where I'm leaning.
Dolphins hosting the Raiders this week, and a consideration if Jake does not go with the Lions. We'll keep track of it. If you're alive Thanksgiving, hope you can come back, man. We'll talk about strategy then.
I hope to see you soon.
Jake Bensequin, ProfitX co-founder, but also Survivor currently at Circa. Thank you, Jake. Coming back with Pete Futak next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. Best listeners in the game. Love you guys. Just be funny. That's all we want. You don't have to be funny. You can just be serious, too. Oh, here's one from Brandon Kyles. Gil, did you catch the Bears this weekend? What are we thinking about Caleb Williams?
He is not special.
There we go.
He is not special. There's nothing special about him.
Guys are going to do this now every time. It's like a Pavlov dogs thing here on the show. Be careful what I wish for. Harold Irving, apolitically speaking, that's quite the cop out on Jeff Parlay's producer title. It's not a cop out, Harold. It is just that if I called him the Donald Trump of producers, Donald Trump connotes many different things to many different people. So I don't want Parlay people thinking whatever of Parlay, where if I say the Grover Cleveland of producers, Grover Cleveland kind of known for that specifically, if you know what I mean. So we go with Grover Cleveland. It's not, it is apolitical. It's purposefully apolitical. Doug Wedge. Hey, Gil, I'm trying to get in at Profit X. Can you give Jake a nice character reference for me? Oh, you're trying to get in as an employee. All right. Well, you tagged him. Yes, you tagged him. So he'll see that. Chris Hauser, he was worried that our numbers game hours didn't get in on the app yesterday. It is now there. He's saying looking forward to catching up. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for caring enough to see that it was missing yesterday. Jeremiah Westgate, I agree with both of you, you and Drew, regarding the Chargers. I have at -3. Clearly, this is a lock now. I am not on the Chargers. I just thought it would be 2.5. I just thought the spread would be a little bigger, not quite to the 3. He's got it at 4. He's all over the Chargers. So I have not made that bet. And quite frankly, if I made the bet, I'd be on the other side, I think. Martel J, not that I am betting it, though, I should say, at that current number. Martel J, gave Profit X a try after the last spot. It is great. It's a great platform, especially since I'm in Texas. Can deposit directly from bank login, withdrawal equally simple. Great lines. Hope to see them expand futures markets. Oh, and then Jack Scooter didn't get the apolitical memo. Gil, love your show. But I knew there was a but coming. But I have to say, I hope you and Drew lost your ass betting on Harris. Wasn't even close. MAGA 2024, he says. However, I'll still be listening, he adds at the end. I did not lose my shirt, Jack. I'm sorry to disappoint you. As I talked about on air, where I bet elections for typically in past elections for lots of money, they made a decision not to post them this year. So all of mine was reduced to highly limited ones on skins. Drew was not quite as lucky. So anyway, you're half excited, Jack. But thank you for listening. Nonetheless, we appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been too long since we've spoken to this guy. He is the czar of collegefootballnews.com, the emperor of that website, a trove of college football information. It is the great Peter Futak, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at Pete Futak on Twitter, F-I-U-T-A-K. How you doing, Pete?
Wait, you're burying the lead here. So you're telling me that there is a MAGA supporter on X?
I know, right?
Are you, wow. Okay.
I know. Imagine that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, that's a new one. By the way, Caleb Williams is special. It's hard when you've got defenders jumping on your head. That team's awful. They have no lines whatsoever and no help for him. But I digress. Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, it's a little chicken and egg. You're right. There is some deniability with that offensive line, but he also runs around and seems to hold the ball a little too long.
He's a rookie. Give him a moment. Remember, I was the biggest anti-Baker Mayfield guy going. Sometimes these guys just need, some at-bats, and all of a sudden it works. I think he's going to be fine. Give him.
Okay. To college football, Pete, I want to ask you a series of questions. I want to ask you some macro things. One, right now, if I held you to it, and you and I both agree this 12-team format for the playoffs is awesome, but if I said to you right now, okay, Pete, who in your heart of hearts is the best team in college football, your answer would be?
Ohio State. It's Ohio State. So here's the way to put this. Ohio State and Georgia are the two best teams in college football. The thing about it is, though, Georgia isn't playing like it.
No.
And Ohio State is so tight. You can just tell, there's no team that's having less fun than Ohio State. Well, that goes in general, but now more than ever, because they can't, oh my God, they missed a third down completion, fire Ryan Day. They're so just so freaked out right now. But talent wise, in terms of what they've got in place, in terms of coaching staff, in terms of personnel, in terms of the lines, in terms of the NFL stuff, it's Ohio State, it's Georgia, and there's a drop, and then there's everyone else. The problem is, again, Georgia's not playing like it right now. So we'll see if once we get to the playoff, if it's one of those things where when you flip the switch, does everything change? And what's going to happen is that the way this things are starting to shake out is if the playoff committee is going to go pretty safe when it comes to how they're going to rank teams at the end, you're going to have you're gonna have an 11-1 big Penn State team, most likely, an 11-1 Indiana, most likely, an 11-1 Notre Dame. We're probably gonna be like your 6, 7, and 8, and the Big Ten championship loser is probably gonna be the 5. So you're gonna have those teams like the 5, 6, 7, 8. Welcome to your home game in the first round of the playoff against Georgia and Ole Miss and all these SEC teams that are going to come into your house and be like, hey, how's it going? And so this is going to get really interesting really fast.
I should have prefaced all of this once again for those who aren't familiar with Pete's work, that he is a unabashed Power 5 snob, and that within the Power 5, he also has a hierarchy. And so I I'm a guy who has
Did I get one basket of mini muffins or balloon bouquets for telling everyone last year Michigan was the best team?
No, I did not send you a bouquet. You're correct.
I can't change the future. I cannot change college football. I can only see it. I wish these teams were better, but hey, look, that's the joy of this new tournament. Now we get to see what Indiana can do. We get to see what these teams can do.
Pete, let me ask you a couple other questions, because I will tell you, as a guy who has a Georgia ticket at 5-1 to win it all,
I am
a bit surprised. But maybe I shouldn't be from you for you to say, oh, it's Ohio State and Georgia, and then there's a drop off. I don't know that that's accurate, but you really believe that. So that I think that's already a surprising answer to me. Let me ask a different question. Of the teams that are, you know, undefeated or with one loss right now, who is the most fraudulent, and even include two loss teams if you need to, but who of among the group of teams that currently has a path to the playoff do you believe to be the most fraudulent?
I'm not sold on SMU. It's a great story. It's fun, but here's the part to remember about all these teams and all these expanded conferences is a lot of these programs miss the big guys. Like Army has yet to play a team that's going to go to a bowl game, you know? So in Indiana, your best win is Michigan. Yeah, it sounds great, but you know, Michigan's going to go 6-6 this year. And their second best wins, what, Michigan State, Nebraska. Okay. Texas A&M, they miss Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Ole Miss. I mean, they don't play these top teams. So I don't want to use the word fraudulent necessarily, because you can be really good and maybe just not have the right, you know, schedule. Yeah. But at least they haven't been the more accurate way to put it is haven't been truly tested yet.
Well, that's the thing that I'm not sure everybody considered, including the committee, which is when these conferences become these mega conferences, your schedule now means that you don't play everybody, right? And so you have these inflated records and you have this kind of mayhem. Again, 22 of the top 25 teams in the country have either no losses, one loss, or two losses currently with three games of regular season still to play. So let's get to the middle of the two questions I just asked. Who is the proverbial team that you don't want to play because they can beat any team in the country on any given day? Is that Alabama?
Yeah, really quick, going back to your other thing, it's like, look at the ACC, for example. Clemson, SMU, and Miami, they don't play each other.
Yeah.
So you're going to have crazy tiebreakers galore where they just so happen to be really good and you're missing each other. But Alabama, definitely, you never want to play Alabama. But again, you know, Georgia, if you slip in Georgia the 9 seed, like you can see it. When they turn it on, and they didn't do it last week, but you can tell when it clicks with that team, you're like, okay, that's it. That's the... You know, we forget that they've destroyed Clemson to start the season. And then all of a sudden the pressure got to them and they started playing poorly. But you're right. You don't want to deal with Alabama. I'm going to really be wishy-washy here to combine your other questions. The team I'm not quite sure if it's fraudulent or if it is that team you don't want to play. Notre Dame's killing everybody. Like the Northern Illinois game was a total outlier. It was a bad coach called game. They forgot to run. Historically, Notre Dame ran like, you know, 24 times, which is a low for them, which they hadn't done that since like 2010. And so they just called a weird game and they got caught on the wrong day. But in terms of who's just crushing everyone, I think Notre Dame still holds the record for in the last October through now November. No one's won by a bigger margin in games in Notre Dame. They've got that sort of thing where, okay, great running team. They don't throw the ball, but great defense, great running. They seem to have something there where I think they're a sneaky good team. But to your point, yeah, you want to play Alabama right now? Not really. You want to play Georgia right now? Not really.
20 seconds. Favorite play this weekend is?
Wow. I kind of really am starting to kind of believe in the, you know, I'll still Georgia over Tennessee. Just take it right straight up. And if this is where Georgia turns it on, I'm not a believer in Tennessee quite yet.
Still believes in Georgia. Pete, great talking to you. Let's do this more often, sir.
There we go.
Pete Futak on the Twitter machine, F-I-U-T-A-K, courtesy of Aggressive Guest Line. Kelly has some NBA Cup thoughts and bets. He's got group bets as well. Coming up, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.